This is Cynthia Ganoff, and you are listening to the Mesmerized Podcast. Hey guys, welcome to Mesmerized. I am so glad that you're here with me. I have a fun announcement, and that is that my publisher, Esther Press, has picked my book, Life is Messy, God is Good, to be their summer book club book. And so that is super fun. And I'm going to link it in podcast notes. And that means you can just click on that and sign up. And if you have a copy, great. If not, you can grab a copy of the book. And there will be questions that you can do each week. There's videos that I taped when I was in Nashville a few weeks ago. And it kind of sets the stage and gives kind of the behind the scenes too on each chapter of the book. And so you can do that with a virtual online community through Esther Press. Or if you want to gather some friends together this summer, which I think is always a great idea. I love a book club in the summer. And it's casual. Everybody's in and out of town, but people come when they can and you just get together and go through a book. Well, you can join the Facebook group if you click on this link that I'm going to put in podcast notes, and you will have access to everything, the graphics, the videos, a discussion guide, all of it. And so the other fun thing is that I am doing Zoom calls with many of the groups. When you sign and register, I will pop in at some point whenever that works best for your group and chat with your group and talk about the book, talk about anything you want to talk about, actually. So I'm going to link it in podcast notes, but you guys definitely please consider being a part of the summer book club for Life is Messy, God is Good. All right. Second thing, I hope you're enjoying this series we just started. I'm already loving it. And it's the how do I fill in the blank. That's what we're doing. How do I fill in the blank questions, and we are bringing in guests to talk about them. And last week it was Courtney DeFeo talking out, how do I cheerlead other women? She was so good. And this week we're talking about, how do I improve my marriage? And Dave and Ann Wilson are with us, and I love them. They are so much fun. And what I love is they just come at things from a place of being married a long time and getting it wrong in a lot of ways and getting it right in some ways. And so they have kids, they have grandkids. They also are the host of Family Life Today, which is a major radio show that's it's on outlets all over the country, every single state actually. And so you're going to love hearing from them. They have five great tips for improving our marriage. And so there's so many great how do I questions coming your way. Just make sure you're listening the next few weeks and through the summer. And will you do me a favor and share it with friends who you think will benefit from these different shows? And let's continue to grow our mesmerized audience. Anyway, so glad you are here. Dave and Ann, thanks for being on Mesmerized. I'm so excited to finally get to chat with you guys. And we are talking about practical tips, things that we all are trying to get right in life. And I knew when it came to marriage, you were the people to talk to. And so that's what we're going to talk about. Like, what are some tips? You guys are all about marriage. And so we want your five tips. How do we get it right? How do we have a healthy marriage? I know there's not one size fits all, but if we were going to narrow it down, what would that look like? Could you kick us off with that?
Well, we might be better telling you what not to do rather than what to do. In 44 years of marriage, we have...
We've learned the hard way. Yeah. Let's just say that. We've learned the hard way because we've made a lot of mistakes. You're right.
Same.
Yeah,
same.
I mean, the first thing that comes to my mind is something that we should have known, because I was a preacher, a pastor, a church founder for 30 years and worked as a Detroit Lions chaplain for 33 years. And so we're in ministry our entire married life. And we're pointing people to Jesus, and I sort of found that I was trying to find life from my spouse, from Ann, and didn't realize that, I was going to be disappointed. She was going to be disappointed in me. And so we had to recalibrate and actually practice what we preach, which is you're not going to find life in your marriage or your spouse. Not that you're not going to be happy or find some life in them, but true life is going to come from a relationship with Christ. That's what our message in our book, Vertical Marriage, means. You go vertical and you find life in Christ, and then you come back to your marriage, and now you're a giver rather than a taker. I was a taker trying to get from Ann all the things I wasn't getting anywhere else, and I was disappointed thinking I married the wrong person, and there was another person that would make me happy, and I realized we both were looking in the wrong place.
Yeah, so I would say point number one, go vertical. And I think we all know that, but somewhere along the line, here's what happened to us. We just kind of drifted. You have kids, you're busy, you have careers, and you're just drifting away. And what happened to me was, I've got a couple kids, and I'm thinking, why is Dave never here? Like, it feels like all of his best energy is going out.
And it was.
And when he comes home, he's got nothing less. So I became disappointed, disillusioned, and we started drifting. And here's what I think, especially as a woman, is what I did was instead of like plugging into Jesus more and really locking into him, you know what I did? I started looking more at Dave, thinking, why isn't he meeting any of my needs? Why isn't he being the husband or father that I've been longing for him to be? And I know this sounds crazy, but it's almost like my marriage and Dave became an idol, because I thought, somebody asked us, like, what do you think? How was your marriage at year 10? And this is kind of the critical point for us of just in the valley. And I would have said, we're like a 0.5, possibly a 1. And Dave would have said,
I was thinking we were 10 out of 10.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, literally, how could I be that disconnected from how we were really doing?
But I'm thinking it's because you're disconnected that you don't even know how we're doing. And so I was thinking, if Dave would just get his act together, we could have a great marriage. And I wasn't looking at myself. I'm looking like, dude, you need to pull it together here. And so we really just had this crisis moment in our marriage on our 10-year anniversary where I said, I've got nothing. I've got nothing left. I don't have feelings. I don't even care, because I was angry and bitter and resentful. And then that just turned to numbness. And to be honest, I had lost hope, you know? And I think so what happened was we ended up putting our focus back on Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. And what did that look like practically speaking? If you're going vertical, give us like just an idea or two, practically, what does that look like day to day?
Well, I would say, first of all, don't put your hope in your spouse. Like, well, if he would just lead us, or if he would just pray, or if he, because that takes you down a rabbit hole that's never ending. So for me, I'll speak for myself. I had to just totally repent. Like, Jesus, I've made my marriage an idol. I've made Dave an idol, thinking that he could make me happy when you never created him to make me happy. You're my source of joy. So that is the biggest piece. And then, I mean, it came down to we had to make changes in our lives. And Dave was open to that, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I mean, calendar had changed. But I think one of the biggest things is going vertical together. It's one thing to do it in your own personal walk, which is critical and probably the foundation and the root, but we had to start saying, let's pray together daily and make that part of our life. Let's date weekly. Let's make it a rhythm where we get away from the kids. They were toddlers at the time, and look at each other and talk.
And just to say, how are you doing? Like, how are you really doing? Kind of going below the surface.
And even ask the question on a scale of 1 to 10, how are we? Because I thought I knew we were 10 and I was wrong. So I'm like, I want to know what you think, and let's talk about how we can get to do better. So some of it was just growing spiritually together. And, you know, most Christian couples, church-going couples, don't pray together. Like, regularly. I saw a stat just not too long ago from Gallup that said, if a couple prays together regularly, a husband and wife, it didn't even say daily, it just said regularly, the divorce rate for that couple, you ready for this, is 1 in 1,011.
Oh my gosh.
It's just crazy. When there's a spiritual relationship going on together, it really makes a big, big difference.
And I would add, if you have a spouse that, like, you're thinking, there's no way he's praying, and especially out loud, that's not happening. But I would say this, because there were times I was resentful that Dave wasn't praying, or he'd fall asleep. And, you know, then I'm like, well, I'm not going to pray if he's not, you know, I had this bitterness in me. So even if you just put your hand on your spouse at night, he could be sleeping, he could be awake, but just pray out loud and say, Lord, thanks for my husband. Thanks that he's a good man, or thank you for something he did. Or just maybe it's, Lord, help us to have a great marriage. We need you. That's it.
Yeah.
That's the beginning.
Woo. That's so good. That's so good. Okay. Number one, go vertical. Number two.
I think number two for me, and this would be a little different for Ann, is don't run away from conflict. I did not know when we first got married that I brought a pattern into our marriage of withdrawal. When conflict happened, I withdrew. I had a belief at that time. I didn't know it again then, but I had a belief that conflict is bad. You avoid it. Where'd I get that? Family of origin. I had two alcoholic parents who, when they got drunk, they got angry and loud. My dad was sort of a mean drunk, and abuse happened, and they ended up divorced when I was a little boy, 7 years old. So again, never formulating these thoughts, I grow up seeing that and thinking, boy, conflict's bad. You know, it gets loud and it ends in divorce and ugly. And so I avoided every conflict in any relationship I ever had. Then Ann and I get married. And one of our first conflicts, I start walking out of the room because that's what I do. You know, I didn't even know it, but I just leave.
So he leaves, and I come from the exact opposite. Even talking about our backgrounds and origins and family origin, talk about how your family handled conflict. He leaves the room, and I'm shocked. So I say to him, this shows you my conflict resolution style, are you kidding? Come back here and fight me like a man, you chicken.
Yeah.
That doesn't do a lot of good.
Wow. Yeah, no, I feel that.
Yells that as I'm walking into the kitchen. No one home at this point, just we're at her parents' house. And I walk back in the room and I look at her and I go, yeah, oh yeah. And I didn't know what to do. So I just go, oh yeah, well bleep you. And I walk back out.
And we're brand new Christians, you know, first year of marriage.
I'm embarrassed to say that's what I did, but I was afraid. And obviously you discover marriage and any relationships are going to have conflicts. So, man, you've got to understand how to deal with conflict. And every marriage has conflict. Few marriages resolve conflict. So it takes skills and humility to go back in there and say, we're going to work this through.
Yeah. In my own marriage, I just know it's been interesting because for many years now, you know, we're over the 20-year mark, but for many years with conflict, I felt like, do you not love me enough to realize something's wrong? Like, I'm clearly mad.
Yes.
I'm being very passive aggressive. Like, if you loved me, you would show up and you would be like, what's wrong? Can we work on it? And from his perspective, I figured out he loves me enough to not make it something it doesn't have to be. He loves me enough to keep the peace kind of thing, but it was not read as love. And I just love that you're saying that because it is coming from two completely different perspectives. And so however you both deal with conflict, just coming together, give us one within that, like, you know, a good way to really handle the conflict well. I mean, obviously neither one of us were doing it well early marriage, but is there a way that, I know it's individualized to couples, but a way that you'd say really is the smart way to go about it? Because we all have it.
Let me add this. I'll interject this. This is because this is kind of answers your question. In the early years, if I was having a problem, and this is what not to do. I remember three little boys, like overwhelmed, feeling like I'm failing, feeling like I'm terrible at this. Dave comes in the room. I'm crying. I said, like, God has picked the wrong person because I am failing miserably with these kids. And I wasn't, but man, we can beat ourselves up as moms. And so he's listening to me for a minute. He goes upstairs to his office.
This is not a good illustration.
He goes upstairs to his office and he comes down with an index card. He comes down with an index card, and I can see that it's numbered 1 to 10. And I'm thinking, oh, he has just written 10 reasons why I'm a good mom, or why he loves me, or why I'm a good wife. So I'm like, are you kidding me? And I take this little card, and I look at it, and I read it out loud because I'm so excited. And it says, number one, get more organized.
No.
And I'm thinking, shh. Surely it's going to get better. Number two.
It gets worse.
Use your time more wisely.
Now,
nope. at this point, I said to him, what is this? And he says.
Yeah, I actually said, I prayed and God gave me this. So.
Oh, no.
And I thought it was from the Lord.
I say, do you think this is from God? This is from Satan. And so I take it up and I rip it and I throw it in his face. Because I did not need him to fix me.
Yeah.
What did I need? Yeah. As a woman, we all need. I just need you to be in it with me. And so mm-hmm. I think a great, like, as we get into conflict, just to start asking questions that are, hey, what do you need from me right now?
I mean, what I think Ann's also saying is listen.
Yes.
In a conflict, we often talk. we only listen enough to nail them on the point they're getting wrong. Or I think we just need to shut up, not open our mouth, ask God to help us have ears to hear what's really going on behind even what they're saying, and be empathetic. Yeah. I should have heard what she was saying that day and said, man, you're having a tough day. Well, let's just talk.
Tell me more.
Tell me more about your day. Tell me more about how it is to be a mom with three little toddlers. It's hard, isn't it? Coming up with a list that was absolutely wrong.
Yeah. And I love this normalizing it too, just that, you know, we all have conflict in our marriages. And if we're not experiencing conflict in our marriage, then we're probably not spending enough time together. But this normalizing it it just seems, I don't know. I know y'all hear this too, but when I'm around people and they're like, oh, our marriage just got hard. You know, we just don't get along anymore. You know, I don't think it was ever meant to be. I'm like, are any of us getting along all the time? Like, this can't be the exit strategy for every couple, or we're all in trouble, right? So
right.
I love the thought. Yeah. I love that.
Welcome to the club.
Right.
I think number three really ties into number two. And this was the one, man, I had to learn this the hard way. Number three is use your words to bring life, not death. Scripture says the power of life and death is in the tongue. Well, some of us can use our tongues as lethal weapons. And that honestly was me. We were speaking at our church. I actually asked Dave, come and speak to this women's group with me. They're going to love it if the pastor comes. And I'm like, well, what should we talk about? He goes, I don't know. Let's just wing it. And I'm like, oh, they're going to love Dave. He's the pastor. They love him anyway. So he gets up there. I'll make this short. But basically, he says this to the women. I don't know if you get this, but as little boys, we have somebody cheering for us. You know, somebody, a mom or a dad, somebody. Get older, we kind of find what we're good in. And so we have teachers or professors or coaches that are cheering us on. He goes, and I was a college quarterback. So that was, you know, I loved it. He goes, but then I meet Anne, and she basically says, of all the men in the world, I choose you, Dave Wilson. You're the man. And I'm sitting there thinking, I've never heard this before. This is really interesting. He goes, but then you know what happens? We walk in the door when we've been married a while, and all we hear is, boo, boo. I'm sitting on this chair like, what just happened? He has never said this to me out loud, ever. And so I don't even know how we ended, but we got in the car and I'm like, you think I'm booing you? And he's basically like, yeah. And I'm like, I am helping you. Like, everybody's like, oh, Dave, you're amazing. I see everything and I am helping you to get better. And he basically says, is it working? I'm like, no. And this is why I have to critique or nag and be louder when I say it. And he was like, tell what you thought, hon.
Well, I mean, I shouldn't have ever given that illustration publicly, especially since we'd never really talked about it privately. But when it came out of my mouth that day, I mean, I remember thinking, I've never said it like this. This is exactly how it feels. Like, I get cheered everywhere else and I come home and I'm not good. I'm good out there, but I come in the home and I'm not. And I cannot tell you how many men, husbands I've talked to that said, oh my gosh, that's my home too. And I just felt like I think men, and it can go either way, but I think men go to where they're affirmed. And so I was working too much. And part of it was they thought I was good out there. When I got home, she didn't think I was good. So I had to learn how to say that, and Anne changed. She literally changed, not in a day or even in a year, but over time she started to use her words not to tear down, but to build me up.
Well, and it's not that I didn't speak truth, because that's my worry. My worry was like, oh, am I supposed to be a doormat and not say what I'm thinking? But the truth is, I sat with God and I felt like he was saying, Anne, I want to do some work in you. And man, I have never, it was hard. Like, I'm writing a book on it right now, actually. And the working title is How to Speak Life to Your Husband When All You Want to Do Is Boo Him.
Oh, that's so good.
So anyway, God just took me on a journey to learn to speak life, but also when I had to speak a hard truth, how to wrap it, how to talk to God about it. God, should I say it? When should I say it? How should I say it? And I'm a verbal processor, and that was a hard journey to go on, but it takes self-control.
Yeah. Well, and I love that you're saying that because I think about that. Mike and I said when we first started dating, both being lawyers, we're like, nobody wins in an argument between the two of us. We both are quick on our feet. We're both were litigators in the day. I'm not anymore. But then, you know, we kind of went the other side of it where, well, let's just not argue, you know, and we all know that doesn't work either. But it's interesting this whole idea, that visual of booing when they come in the door, sometimes when I listen to myself talk to my husband or try to address things, you know, the right way, air quoting that, I think, would I want that for one of my sons? Like, do I want my son to marry someone that when he comes in the door, that's what he's greeted with? And then I have to think, like, this is obviously someone's son. You know, my mother-in-law would not want that for him. I don't want that for him. The Lord doesn't want that for him. Are we ignoring everything out there? No, we're not going to Pollyanna it. But at the same time, how would I want someone to address something? How would I want my future daughter-in-law to address it with one of my boys? And it really flips the script for me. So thanks for saying that. That's a huge reminder. Okay. Number four, right? Yes, four.
Yeah. Deal with your family of origin luggage. We all bring luggage into our marriage. I don't think we honestly know what it is often. I think marriage is like a mirror. It sort of reflects back to you who you are. In a beautiful way, that's great. In a horrible way, it's horrible because it's like, oh man, you have to deal with your selfishness. You have to deal with your, like I brought, as I said earlier, I brought stuff from my family of origin that I honestly thought before we got married was all dealt with. You know, God had transformed my life. He had healed me. The pain is done and over. It's gone. And I was just naive. It's like, it's not gone. God does heal. God is healing. But you're bringing that in. And if you don't open those bags and start to sort of pick through the luggage in there, you could possibly destroy your marriage. I mean, I knew that if I didn't deal with it, I was going to pass on a legacy to our three sons, now all married with six grandkids, of divorce, of alcohol, of adultery. All that was, you know, sort of my legacy. And again, if I didn't stop and say, okay, how did that affect me? How does that shape me? Am I a secure man or am I an insecure man? Am I still trying to find affirmation in all kinds of places? And I was. And I didn't see that. And so I brought that into our marriage. And one of the problems has been for 40 some years is I'm always chasing the next, you know, speaking engagement, deal, whatever. And part of that's, yeah, you're not dealing with some of that baggage you brought in. Anne brought some baggage in as well.
I was going to say, almost all of us have a carousel issue that comes back. And I feel like that's God whispering, I want you to deal with that. And so to get a counselor, a therapist, or a friend that can say, like, I remember somebody say, even a therapist saying, where do you think that comes from? That need for Dave to see you, to hear you. I'm like, God, because God made me like, but honestly, it is because I'm the youngest of four. A lot of things happen in my life that nobody saw me. Nobody knew where I was. I have sexual abuse in my background. And so when Dave starts pulling away, I get panicky. And that's going to be that piece that's missing. It's almost like the red lights going on, the engine lights on a car, like pay attention, pay attention, pay attention. So as your listeners are listening to that and you're thinking, this is the issue that always comes up, could that be tied to something in your past? And if so, let go, let God go back and heal that.
Yeah. Yeah. What a good word. It's interesting because you guys know all too well, once your kids get a certain age, like high school, they're snarky, but they're also super perceptive and they call out things. And I remember during COVID, which, you know, we were all our worst self during COVID, especially in marriage. I can't think of a worse moment in marriage over here than COVID. It's very healthy, if I might say, Dave and Anne, it's very healthy for my husband to be at his office and me to not be there. Like, that works for us. But when we were together all day, I remember hearing our teenage daughter say, Mike was commenting on something, and she said, oh boy, there goes his internal narrative again. And we all kind of stopped, and she was kind of being snarky, but she was kind of right. And my husband eventually got some counseling. He would be happy to talk about. I'm not saying anything he wouldn't say here. He'd never been in counseling. He's like, oh my gosh, like I do kind of have a narrative that plays out from growing up and some things, you know, that nothing hugely traumatic even, but that have always played into how I view life. And that narrative, it shows up. And it was just so interesting to hear one of our kids call it that. And then my husband's like, looking back, he's like, totally had a narrative that I needed to work through. And so, yeah, good word on that is we all have stuff from our good stuff from our family of origin, but we've also got baggage and yeah, important to deal with. Okay. Last thing, last point.
I would say, deal with the secrets in your life. You can't have secrets. You can't hide in marriage. When we were writing Vertical Marriage, I scripted, we've been, you know, speaking around the country for 30 years on marriage. So we sort of knew what we wanted to write. So we went away to a friend's house that he gave us for a week. And I, you know, we scripted out 10 chapters. So I sit down the first day, we'd never written a book together. So Anne's out on the deck writing chapter one that she was going to write. And I'm in the house and I look out and I see her out there and she's like, she's just going on her computer laptop. And I was like, wow, she really knows what she wants to write. So she didn't know I could do this, but I pull up her Microsoft Word to see what she's writing. And the chapter title is a chapter title we've never talked about. I don't even know what it means. It says Dave's neck problem. That's the big chapter title. And I'm like, what is this about? And sure enough, she's not doing what she's supposed to be doing. She went rogue. And she writes about when we first got married that we were on a beach doing evangelism. And she noticed that when a girl would walk by in a bathing suit, I would follow her with my eyes. And she called it my neck problem.
Yeah, I'm like, seriously. I remember saying to him, you know, we were young, like, I'm standing right here. And you're not even looking at me. You're just watching all these girls in these little bikinis. He's like, no, that's not, I'm not doing
I
that.
I denied the whole thing. And then the next day I'm like, I got to see if she's right. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I do this. You know, and then I'm like, well, I've always done this. You know, every guy does this, but I had all these excuses. Anyway, she writes this whole chapter about dealing with that in our marriage. So I sit down the second day to start writing our book. And I'm supposed to write this other chapter. And I thought, hey, if she's going to write a chapter about my neck problem, I better write my perspective. So I wrote Dave's neck problem, Dave's perspective, and all that to say this. So I describe that moment from my perspective. And then as I finish sort of that thought, I'm sitting there, you're a writer, you know, and so I'm sitting there like, okay, is this chapter done? And I was like, yeah, I think it's done. But then I'm like, but that neck problem didn't just go away. It became a porn problem years later in our marriage. And I'm like, do I put this in a Christian book? And I thought, okay, I'm going to be honest. So I wrote about that journey and how God has given victory, but it was a journey that really impacted our marriage later. And this was before digital porn. This was back in magazine days. Anyway, I put that in there. We sent it off to Zondervan, our publisher, and we were convinced those two chapters will never end up in the book. And they came back and they're like, hey, those are two of the best chapters in the book. We're keeping them. I'm like, oh no, the whole world's going to know. But all that to say, that was something we had to work through. It gets into forgiveness. It gets into being honest. It gets into being honest about your sin and your secrets and the things you hide in your marriage. And I think that's a key part of a healthy marriage is you've got to be able to say, I want to be naked and unashamed. I don't mean physically. I mean emotionally and with your sin and with your temptation, your struggle. You've got a partner. And if you hide, it's going to destroy a marriage. And we've all known of marriages and even ministry marriages that have crumbled because of a secret. So I think it's very important to be honest and say, God, I want to bring into the light what I struggle with in the dark, and my spouse needs to be a part of that.
And I think this really goes both ways, because we all have things that, like, we're not proud of, and we're ashamed of it, honestly. And it's really hard to expose any of that to our spouse. It could be who we're following or what we're looking at on social media. It could be what we're watching in movies. It could be our struggle with any kind of temptation. But I think as a husband and wife to bring all of that to the table, and to, like somebody said, do you wish you didn't know any of that about Dave? Like I said, no, because I know all of it. I see all of it. I know all of him, and I'm still choosing to be married to him. And you know what that is? That's the gospel.
And that's forgiveness.
When God sees all of our sin, our mistakes, and he died for it, and he still loves us, and he still pursues us, that is a picture of the gospel of Christ.
Woo, woo, that's so good. Okay, you guys, some recapping for them. Here's their top five on healthy marriage. Number one, go vertical. Number two, don't run away from conflict. Number three, use your words to bring life, not death. Number four, deal with your family of origin luggage. And number five, deal with the secrets in your life. And these are amazing, and every one of them could be unpacked and is unpacked in all of the resources you guys have. Will you point us to the things that people need to be following you? They need the things that you're offering. Can you point us that direction?
Yeah, well, first of all, we do a daily podcast, which is also a radio show called Family Life Today, which is a part of Family Life. And that's on radio stations and podcasts, you know, anywhere, 5 days a week. And if they want to find us, we're Dave Ann Wilson on social media, Facebook, Instagram, just Dave Ann, no E in Ann, just A-N-N, Dave Ann Wilson. And we got a YouTube channel, and I don't know, that's where they find us.
Yeah, and then that next string, that book will be coming out to wives, so pick that up too.
So excited. You need to come back. I'm holding you to it. We got to come back, and we're going to talk about that again.
All right.
You guys, so nice to meet you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's great to be with you.
Thanks for all you're doing.
All right. Those are awesome, awesome 5 points. And I know you ended up loving them like I do. I will link all of their info so you can get back to them and follow them and listen to their show, perhaps. I'm also going to link again the Summer Book Club. So be thinking about who you want to ask to join you in doing that this summer. I think it'll be lots of fun. And you'll get to do Life is Messy, God is Good on a little deeper level. So thanks for being a part of this. Share this podcast with your friends. And also, if you enjoyed it, leave a review on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. That helps people find us. You guys are the best. Thanks for being a part of the Mesmerized community.
Big shout out to you for making it through the hectic holiday season. This new year, get clean, quality, pregnancy nutrient support off your to-do list, including Ritual's best-selling essential prenatal multivitamin, designed with 12 traceable key ingredients to support a healthy pregnancy. With big changes coming up, take the small steps now and start today with 30% off a 3-month supply at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.